times and hear it again. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord your God is in your midst. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. It goes on, I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. The core conviction of Advent is that there is a mighty one who is coming. And so it is, on the one hand, a wondrous deliverance that calls for rejoicing. In Advent, we proclaim that God is coming to invade our world with hope. And amen, it is true. But for John the Baptist, the coming of the one for whose sandals he is unfit to untie also brings impending judgment. So it is then, on the other hand, an unwanted disruption of our settled selves. Our nativity scenes with a sweet baby in a manger would have us believe that God comes so peaceably to simply warm our hearts. For what could be threatening about a newborn baby? Yet part of our claim in Advent is that God is coming to bring new governance, and that is a wondrous gift, but it could also be a terrible threat. And it depends, according to John, on whether or not we're ready. We are told that the crowds have come to be baptized by John, and we know that baptism signals one's submission to God. It was a profession of new or renewed allegiance to God, and it was a way to be included within the restored people of God. See, in baptism we make a claim, and we do that even today. When we baptize an individual, be it an adult or an infant, we make a claim that this individual belongs to God, that they always have and that they always will, and that after baptism, the mark of Christ is upon them. In my home church, whenever we baptize someone, we put salt on their lips and we give them a lit candle, and we say to them, "Go now, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Go and let your good deeds so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." The mark of Christ is upon them. And so, it's the meaning of this mark of Christ that John is concerned with. For those who followed him into the wilderness, John wanted to ensure that they knew of the life-altering consequences of being baptized. When you bear the mark of Christ, demands are placed upon you. You are cleansed, changed, renewed, but sent then to serve. Yet the Israelites dismissed this claim upon them by appealing to their heritage as descendants of Abraham. You may remember the covenant that was made with Abraham in Genesis, in which God promised Abraham descendants and land and blessing and redemption. And so perhaps their thought process may have gone something like this. Regardless of whether we live by faith, doesn't really matter, or regardless of whether we practice righteousness, well, that doesn't really matter, because see, we are children of Abraham, and the covenant with Abraham secures our salvation. But according to John, their rites of birth don't substitute for repentance or ethical reform. In fact, if God were so dependent on the physical descent of Israelites to fulfill God's purposes, well then, from these stones, God could raise children to Abraham. Well, calling them a brood of vipers certainly did the trick, because he grasped their attention, and they respond, "What then should we do?" And this is a good Advent question. Three groups pose this question to John. First, the crowds. What should we do? To the crowds, he responds, "Share what you have." Traditionally, repentance was marked by putting on sackcloth and ashes or offering up sacrifices, but here, repentance now looks much more like the command to love one's neighbor as oneself. Share what you have. The tax collectors ask, "Well, what then should we do?" And to them, he responds, "Collect no more than the prescribed amount." The soldiers ask, "What should we do?" And to them, John says, don't exploit your position for personal gain, all at the expense of others. All three answers call for an end to a lifestyle that's based on greed, individualism, accumulation of material possessions. See, actions of unqualified concern for others, well, now that's fruits that are worthy of repentance. God is coming, John proclaims, and God's coming calls for genuine repentance and a commitment to the lifestyle of a covenant people. See, we're not too different from the Israelites. Our temptation to self-justify is universal. So we might ask ourselves, with what rationalizations do we dismiss God's claim on us? What are our modern-day appeals to Abraham? Perhaps we make rationalizations based on piety, in which we think to ourselves, well, you know, God is really only concerned with matters of the heart, and God is really only worried about our private personal relationship to God. And so really, actions of justice or social advocacy or concern for the others, you know, that's really not of utmost importance to God. Or perhaps we rationalize with the thought that, you know, in the end, grace is victorious for all. So one's individual response to God, you know, that's really not as important. Our modern day appeals to Abraham. Well, certainly we are not a brood of vipers. But see, Advent is in fact about the good news that Christ has come. But when we gather to rejoice, we also gather to remember our baptisms and to remember what it means to bear the mark of Christ. And it's a mark that carries a demand that we bear fruits worthy of repentance. And so you too might ask, well, what then should I do? And this is a good Advent question. Advent is for getting ready, but not in the way that popular commercial culture tells us to get ready. Advent is for getting ready for Christ, and that entails an amendment to life. May we heed the words of the wilderness prophet who took so dead seriously the coming of the Messiah that it required nothing less than true repentance marked by complete unqualified concern for one another. May we bear fruits worthy of repentance. It's a tall order, but it is in fact good news. This Advent season, may we truly be the lights of the world and the salt of the earth. And may we so let our light shine before others that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. To the one who puts in us our Advent hope, amen.